Our second lesson of Scripture today is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. I'll begin reading with verse 28 and continue through the remainder of the chapter. You're welcome to follow along, or perhaps just close your eyes and listen and visualize as the Word is presented for us. From Matthew's Gospel in chapter 8, verse 28 and following. When he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demonics coming out of the tombs met him. They were so fierce that no one could pass that way. Suddenly they shouted, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a large herd of swine was feeding at some distance from them. The demons begged him, "If you cast out, send us into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and entered the swine. And suddenly the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the water. The swineherders ran off. And on going into the town, they told the whole story about what had happened to the demonics. Then the whole town came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their neighborhood. And then after getting into the boat, he crossed the sea and came to his own town. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. This morning, I was quite early leaving the house. I exited in a joyful mood, and I said to Manya, "I'll see you in a little bit." A few minutes later, I came back in the house and said, "It's going to be a while. There is a covering of snow on my windshield, on my side glass, and it's kind of cold out there. I've got to heat it up. I've got to defrost the window so I can see." Now, why do you suppose it is that I needed to make sure that I could see out of the side? Well, we all understand, any of us who've driven or ridden with someone who's driving, if we can't see, it's hard for us to believe the coast is clear, isn't it? We want to drop our window where we can see more clearly. We need to see at some point along our journey, whether we're driving or if we're making a journey of faith, we need to know. We need to see to believe. It's not always enough to simply hear. But as some would say, seeing is believing. You know, in our scripture today, we're given an example of those who had the head knowledge. They understood Scripture. They knew about the Son of God, these demonics, these evil spirits that had possessed the bodies of these two individuals. They knew and proclaimed in their head that Jesus was the Son of God. But friends, much like driving on a wintry day, just as we need to see to believe, it's not enough in our faith to be a witness for Christ, to be an example of His love in our world, to simply have head knowledge and know. No, most often, for our faith to be contagious, we need to have something besides head knowledge to know. We need to have heart knowledge to show the faith. We express our faith in love. It's not enough just simply to know that Jesus is the Son of God. Even the Satan himself, the devil, in the temptation of Jesus, he had great knowledge of Scripture. It was Scripture itself that he used to tempt Jesus as he was in the wilderness those 40 days. But you know, for our faith, as Christian people, it's not just knowing, it's showing expressing the love of Christ, to make it contagious. You know, I don't know about you all, but sometimes it's tempting. It's tempting to, when we find ourselves with doubts and frustrations, when things aren't going well, perhaps professionally at work, or at school, or in relationships with those around us. It's easy to question what we know about our faith. But when we see the love of Christ, when it's delivered to us, we have a knowing in our heart that transcends understanding. That's what Paul meant, surely, when he said God gives to us the peace that surpasses understanding. That's a gift from God's Holy Spirit to us as his children. So these demonics in this story, as we hear this journey of Jesus to the other side, as it's written here in Matthew. But if we really want a deeper, a more profound explanation of this journey, we look to the Gospel of Mark. It's in Mark chapter 5 that we receive all of the details of this journey by Jesus to the other side. When we hear that language of the other side, it just doesn't mean the other side of the lake, but it also means the other side of faith. He went to minister to those who didn't have the same faith tradition as himself. He went to those who were Gentile, those who didn't embrace the synagogue teachings of his forebears, but still Jesus went where he saw needs, to not simply express what he saw people needing to know about faith, but he wanted to show them the faith. You know, as he entered this land, we hear more clearly in the Gospel of Mark that the demon-possessed person, Mark focused on one of these. He said the demon-possessed person was staying up day and night. He was tormented, his body physically. He would scrape his skin. He was unclothed. You know, in so many ways, those are examples and symbols to tell us what a terrible state it is when Christ is not in our heart. Maybe we have tried to journey along without Jesus, even if we are professed Christians, that sometimes we perhaps find ourselves trying to go it alone and trust in our own strength instead of the strength from on high. That certainly was the plague of this one who was possessed in such a way that he was tormented and ultimately, as Matthew would say here, tormented those around him. Isn't that what happens when God is not central in our life? We are tormented. In other words, we don't have our best life, and also we make it unpleasing to those around us. You know, I don't know about you all, but sometimes along our journey, we may come in contact with some of those angry Christians. Have you ever seen any angry Christians? Those who just don't seem to be very excited about their faith. And they make it unappealing to those around them. It seems that those who are miserable in their journey of faith are concentrating on the head knowledge of faith rather than the heart expressing the faith. They know the scriptures. They can quote it to you backwards and forwards. But there's an unwillingness to apply the scripture and practice the far-reaching love of Christ. You know, these in our text today, it seemed, were wrestling with that. They had the head knowledge of the faith, but not the heart knowledge to express it. They served themselves. You know, and that also is the story. As Jesus saw these who were possessed, and he yearned to bring healing and wholeness to them and meet them where they were. The demons asked that they be able to be cast out and go into the swine. And Jesus allowed them to do so. And you know, we have to understand the historical background of the text to get a better understanding of this gift Jesus gave to the ones who were demon possessed. For them to be fully conquered of their illness, of their spiritual darkness, Jesus cast those demons into the place where they couldn't survive. Water. Water in that time was understood to be the only thing that could conquer the evil from its darkest depths. And although the swine were lost, although those in the region lost much of their livelihood, God's glory and life was proclaimed to these who needed His salvation, His love forever. And the town people, you know, I've got to be honest, I can relate to their response. I can relate to their response. They were unbelieving people. They had maybe heard stories of this one who was a preacher, who was a teacher of the Father above. And here they comes. He comes into their town, and the first act he does is he destroys their whole herd of swine, their livelihood. Imagine how easy it would be for us, as it was them, to focus not on the restoration of these who were possessed, but to focus more on what was lost. It would be easy to focus on that. To focus not on God's glory, but on the failures of their financial prospects. And they ask Jesus to leave, and He obliges. You know, if our God isn't anything, our God is a gentleman. He never goes where He isn't wanted. He yearns to come into our heart. He yearns to open us to His love. But our God is not rude. They ask Jesus to leave, and He goes. But He isn't gone forever. You know, in Mark's translation, I hope you'll go back and take a look at this passage of Scripture. Right after Jesus leaves the people in Mark 5, we hear where He returns home and He ministers to those in His community. But if we read a little further into Mark and we continue on down to Mark chapter 7, we hear the story that Jesus returns once more to this very region, this very place where He brought healing to this man, this very place where the people there had asked Him to leave, this very place where they didn't receive Him with their hearts. Jesus went back. And when He went back, the crowds were more receptive. When He went back, thousands gathered to listen to Him once more, and this is the interpretation that Mark gives us when Jesus feeds the 4,000. You see, Jesus, in that act, through that gift of grace, transitions from a mere preacher about head knowledge of the faith to a teacher of the heart of the faith. The disciples said, "These people are hungry." And Mark tells us that Jesus proclaimed, "I have compassion for them. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to give them my heart." You see, our Lord, friends, proclaimed and practiced more with His actions than His words the love and life-giving faith that's found in Jesus the Christ. He showed them more about His heart. He expressed through His deeds that our faith, for it to be inspirational, our faith, for it to be contagious, is not simply about what we know, but more importantly at times, our faith is what we show. Are we expressing the love of Christ? You know, recently I visited with my friend and one of many of you, Bobby Martin. And Mr. Martin and I were talking about him growing up as a child in Walnut. When he was the age of 5, his father left home. And Bobby's mom was left to raise the children, the girls, and Bobby, the only boy, all to herself. Bobby said it was a frightening time in my life as a young 5-year-old. And I needed strong men around me to remind me of those who still had the love of Christ in their heart and wanted to nurture me as a young disciple. He said one such man was named Luke Davis, who'd grown up in Myrtle, Mississippi. Luke Davis was the manager of the Kraft Cheese Factory in Walnut. He would go up and become one of the top executives for Kraft Cheese and all of their manufacturing. But Bobby said what he remembered most about Luke Davis is that when he would stay at the hotel where his mom managed there in Walnut, that he would always go an extra effort to spend a little time with Bobby to express his love. He said on one occasion, Luke took me and one of my little friends fishing. And he said we weren't having much luck fishing, and Luke had reeled a couple in. And he said when we weren't watching real close, I know what Luke did. He went over and he put some of the fish he'd caught onto the hooks of our line and let us reel some in together. He told that story to remind and proclaim this, that sometimes along our journey, we have to catch a fish, don't we? Or if we don't, we'll just give up fishing. You know, that could be true in life too. If we don't taste a little bit of success, if we don't feel a little love in our journey, if we don't in some ways see the love of Christ, then maybe we too will just give up and stop trying to live and believe in His life-giving love. You know, Bobby shared with me that Luke did more that day than just introduce him to love. He inspired in him a willingness to embrace that love throughout his life. And when Bobby's father, at the end of his life, returned home, his body plagued with cancer, he reached out to Bobby as a caregiver. And Bobby had to make the decision, what am I going to do? What am I going to do for this one who was never there for me, but now finds himself in need? He never had to think about it long, because his faith was more about knowing of God's love. For Bobby, it was more about showing God's love. Yes, Bobby Martin may have never had a father, but his father certainly had a son. You see, friends, that's the gift that we know when we transition our faith from nearly knowing about Jesus, but to showing Jesus in all we do, and in what we say, to His glory. Amen. As we prepare to respond in faith today, there may be those of you who've never really officially embraced this faith in Jesus Christ. You've heard talk about Him, and you've wondered if He was real. And I say to you, you can do that even this day. Begin your journey. If you'd like that reassurance from on high, let us pray together as we respond to this message of God's love. God, we bow in your presence, and those of us who've claimed your love, we celebrate that all the more. The gift of salvation that is found only in you. But for those with questions today, even as we reflect on this message, maybe the question is, I've heard of you, O God, but I've never really truly embraced knowing that you are real. Or maybe, if we're honest, the greater question is, I just don't know what happens in this life and after this life. But God, even in our not knowing, we do know this, that we are broken and we need restoration. We are sinful and we admit that our shortcomings cannot allow us to live forever. We need something, someone to save us. And God, even though we've never proclaimed faith in you, in some ways we understand now, even in this moment, that you must be Jesus, the Son of God, because your love is so real. Your love is without end. And we praise you for that. In every way we know how now, we express that we believe in you. And we confess you, Jesus, as the Lord of life. We ask you to come into our heart to begin our journey as your children now and forever, that you may be glorified. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let's respond now in faith as we affirm.